Purpose of tests. Suffering is both a reminder and a guide. It stimulates us better to adapt ourselves to our environmental conditions, and thus leads the way to self-improvement. In every suffering one can find a meaning and a wisdom. But it is not always easy to find the secret of that wisdom. It is sometimes only when all our suffering has passed that we become aware of its usefulness. Shoghi Effendi. Suffering is both a reminder and a guide. It stimulates us better to adapt ourselves to our environmental conditions, and thus leads the way to self-improvement. In every suffering one can find a meaning and a wisdom. But it is not always easy to find the secret of that wisdom. It is sometimes only when all our suffering has passed that we become aware of its usefulness. Shoghi Effendi. There was once a lover who had sighed for long years in separation from his beloved, and wasted in the fire of remoteness. From the rule of love, his heart was empty of patience, and his body weary of his spirit, he reckoned life without her as a mockery, and time consumed him away. How many a day he found no rest in longing for her, how many a night the pain of her kept him from sleep, his body was worn to a sigh. His heart's wound had turned him to a cry of sorrow. He had given 1,000 lives for one taste of the cup of her presence, but it availed him not. The doctors knew no cure for him, and companions avoided his company, yea, physicians have no medicine for one sick of love, unless the favor of the beloved one deliver him. At last, the tree of his longing yielded the fruit of despair, and the fire of his hope fell to ashes. Then one night he could live no more, and he went out of his house and made for the marketplace. On a sudden, a watchman followed after him. He broke into a run, with the watchman following, then other watchmen came together, and barred every passage to the weary one. And the wretched one cried from his heart, and ran here and there, and moaned to himself, "Surely this watchman is Israfil, my angel of death, following so fast upon me. Or he is a tyrant of men, seeking to harm me." His feet carried him on, the one bleeding with the arrow of love, and his heart lamented. Then he came to a garden wall, and with untold pain he scaled it, for it proved very high, and forgetting his life, he threw himself down to the garden. And there he beheld his beloved with a lamp in her hand, searching for a ring she had lost. When the heart-surrendered lover looked on his ravishing love, he drew a great breath and raised up his hands in prayer, crying, "O God! Give thou glory to the watchman, and riches and long life." For the watchman was Gabriel, guiding this poor one, or he was Israfil one, bringing life to this wretched one. Indeed, his words were true, for he had found many a secret justice in this seeming tyranny of the watchman, and seen how many a mercy lay hid behind the veil. Out of wrath, the guard had led him who was athirst in love's desert to the sea of his loved one, and lit up the dark night of absence with the light of reunion. He had driven one who was afar, into the garden of nearness, had guided an ailing soul to the heart's physician. Now if the lover could have looked ahead, he would have blessed the watchman at the start, and prayed on his behalf, and he would have seen the tyranny as justice, but since the end was veiled to him, he moaned and made as plain in the beginning. Yet those who journey in the garden land of knowledge, because they see the end in the beginning, see peace in war and friendliness in anger. Baha'u'llah. There was once a lover who had sighed for long years in separation from his beloved, and wasted in the fire of remoteness. From the rule of love, his heart was empty of patience, and his body weary of his spirit, he reckoned life without her as a mockery, and time consumed him away. How many a day he found no rest in longing for her, how many a night the pain of her kept him from sleep, his body was worn to a sigh, his heart's wound had turned him to a cry of sorrow. He had given 1,000 lives for one taste of the cup of her presence, but it availed him not. The doctors knew no cure for him, and companions avoided his company, yea, physicians have no medicine for one sick of love, unless the favor of the beloved one deliver him. At last, the tree of his longing yielded the fruit of despair, and the fire of his hope fell to ashes. Then one night he could live no more, and he went out of his house and made for the marketplace. On a sudden, a watchman followed after him. He broke into a run, with the watchman following, then other watchmen came together, and barred every passage to the weary one. And the wretched one cried from his heart, and ran here and there, and moaned to himself, "Surely this watchman is Israfel, my angel of death, following so fast upon me, or he is a tyrant of men, seeking to harm me." His feet carried him on, the one bleeding with the arrow of love, and his heart lamented. Then he came to a garden wall, and with untold pain he scaled it, for it proved very high, and forgetting his life, he threw himself down to the garden. And there he beheld his beloved with a lamp in her hand, searching for a ring she had lost. When the heart-surrendered lover looked on his ravishing love, he drew a great breath and raised up his hands in prayer, crying, "O God! Give thou glory to the watchman, and riches and long life." For the watchman was Gabriel, guiding this poor one, or he was Israfel one, bringing life to this wretched one. Indeed, his words were true, for he had found many a secret justice in this seeming tyranny of the watchman, and seen how many a mercy lay hid behind the veil. Out of wrath, the guard had led him who was athirst in love's desert to the sea of his loved one, and lit up the dark night of absence with the light of reunion. He had driven one who was afar, into the garden of nearness, had guided an ailing soul to the heart's physician. Now if the lover could have looked ahead, he would have blessed the watchman at the start, and prayed on his behalf, and he would have seen the tyranny as justice, but since the end was veiled to him, he moaned and made as plain in the beginning. Yet those who journey in the garden land of knowledge, because they see the end in the beginning, see peace in war and friendliness in anger. Baha'u'llah. While a man is happy he may forget his God, but when grief comes and sorrows overwhelm him, then will he remember his Father who is in heaven, and who is able to deliver him from his humiliations. Men who suffer not, attain no perfection. The plant most pruned by the gardeners is that one which, when the summer comes, will have the most beautiful blossoms and the most abundant fruit. Abdu'l-Bahá. While a man is happy he may forget his God, but when grief comes and sorrows overwhelm him, then will he remember his Father who is in heaven, and who is able to deliver him from his humiliations. Men who suffer not, attain no perfection. The plant most pruned by the gardeners is that one which, when the summer comes, will have the most beautiful blossoms and the most abundant fruit. Abdu'l-Bahá. Many a time a calamity leads to a bounty. Not until a man has endured hardship on account of a thing will he appreciate the full value of that thing. The more one suffers because of something or other, the better will one understand the worth of it. As the Quran says, "Never will they attain unto divine bounty, except through severe trials." For the people of faith, trials and disasters and tribulations lead to spiritual progress, that is, if one bears them with patience and detachment from all save God. It is said in the Quran, "Think ye to enter paradise, when no such things have come upon you as on those who flourish before you?" Ills and troubles tried the man can never be intoxicated, unless he drink of these. Never can he feel the bliss of those who are drunk with the wine of loving God, unless he too has a draught from calamity's cup. The more you beat upon the steel, the sharper is your sword. The longer you leave gold in red-hot fire, the purer it will be. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá. Many a time a calamity leads to a bounty. Not until a man has endured hardship on account of a thing will he appreciate the full value of that thing. The more one suffers because of something or other, the better will one understand the worth of it. As the Quran says, never will they attain unto divine bounty, except through severe trials. For the people of faith, trials and disasters and tribulations lead to spiritual progress, that is, if one bears them with patience and detachment from all save God. It is said in the Quran, think ye to enter paradise, when no such things have come upon you as on those who flourish before you. Ills and troubles tried the man can never be intoxicated, unless he drink of these. Never can he feel the bliss of those who are drunk with the wine of loving God, unless he too has a draught from calamity's cup. The more you beat upon the steel, the sharper is your sword. The longer you leave gold in red-hot fire, the purer it will be. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá. As we suffer these misfortunes, we must remember that the prophets of God themselves were not immune from these things which men suffer. They knew sorrow, illness and pain too. They rose above these things through their spirits, and that is what we must try and do too, when afflicted. The troubles of this world pass, and what we have left is what we have made of our souls, so it is to this we must look, to becoming more spiritual, drawing nearer to God, no matter what our human minds and bodies go through. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. As we suffer these misfortunes, we must remember that the prophets of God themselves were not immune from these things which men suffer. They knew sorrow, illness and pain too. They rose above these things through their spirits, and that is what we must try and do too, when afflicted. The troubles of this world pass, and what we have left is what we have made of our souls, so it is to this we must look, to becoming more spiritual, drawing nearer to God, no matter what our human minds and bodies go through. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The suffering of mankind, we know, must ultimately prepare it to turn to Baha'u'llah and his life-giving message, but how soon this process will be accomplished we cannot say. We can only strive to show forth the example which will attract men's hearts, and to busy ourselves day and night in spreading the teachings. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The suffering of mankind, we know, must ultimately prepare it to turn to Baha'u'llah and his life-giving message, but how soon this process will be accomplished we cannot say. We can only strive to show forth the example which will attract men's hearts, and to busy ourselves day and night in spreading the teachings. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The suffering of mankind, we know, must ultimately prepare it to turn to Baha'u'llah and his life-giving message, but how soon this process will be accomplished we cannot say. We can only strive to show forth the example which will attract men's hearts, and to busy ourselves day and night in spreading the teachings. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The suffering of mankind, we know, must ultimately prepare it to turn to Baha'u'llah and his life-giving message, but how soon this process will be accomplished we cannot say. We can only strive to show forth the example which will attract men's hearts, and to busy ourselves day and night in spreading the teachings. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi.
Your letter, in which you share the anguish of your heart and express deep concern for the fate of the suffering masses of mankind, has been received by the Universal House of Justice. The world is clearly beset by ills and is groaning under the burden of appalling suffering. The trials of the innocent are indeed heartrending and constitute a mystery that the mind of man cannot fathom. Even the prophets of God themselves have borne their share of grievous afflictions in every age. Yet in spite of the evidence for all this suffering, God's manifestations, whose lives and wisdom show them to have been far above human beings in understanding, unitedly bear testimony to the justice, love and mercy of God. To understand the condition of the world, it is necessary to step back, so to speak, to gain a clearer view of the panorama of God's great redemptive major plan, which is shaping the destiny of mankind according to the operation of the divine will. It should not be surmised that the calamitous events transpiring in all corners of the globe are random and lack purpose, though individually they may be difficult to comprehend. According to the words of our beloved guardian, the invisible hand is at work, and the convulsions taking place on earth are a prelude to the proclamation of the cause of God. We can confidently anticipate, therefore, the arrival of the new life-giving spring once the destructive icy blasts of winter's tempests have run their course. As Baha'is, we know that the sovereign remedy for each and every one of these ills lies in turning and submitting to the skilled, the all-powerful and inspired physician. Baha'u'llah has assured us in his writings that God has not forsaken us. He is the all-seeing and all-knowing, the prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God to those who turn to Him in supplication, and He intervenes actively in human history by sending His manifestations, sources of knowledge and spiritual truth, to liberate the children of men from the darkness of ignorance and to ensure the peace and tranquility of mankind. In this age, God has determined to establish His everlasting kingdom among men, and so, to this end, He sent us this spirit and message of the new day through two successive manifestations, who alas, were rejected by the generality of people, written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. Your letter, in which you share the anguish of your heart and express deep concern for the fate of the suffering masses of mankind, has been received by the Universal House of Justice. The world is clearly beset by ills and is groaning under the burden of appalling suffering. The trials of the innocent are indeed heartrending and constitute a mystery that the mind of man cannot fathom. Even the prophets of God themselves have borne their share of grievous afflictions in every age. Yet in spite of the evidence for all this suffering, God's manifestations, whose lives and wisdom show them to have been far above human beings in understanding, unitedly bear testimony to the justice, love and mercy of God. To understand the condition of the world, it is necessary to step back, so to speak, to gain a clearer view of the panorama of God's great redemptive major plan, which is shaping the destiny of mankind according to the operation of the divine will. It should not be surmised that the calamitous events transpiring in all corners of the globe are random and lack purpose, though individually they may be difficult to comprehend. According to the words of our beloved guardian, the invisible hand is at work, and the convulsions taking place on earth are a prelude to the proclamation of the cause of God. We can confidently anticipate, therefore, the arrival of the new life-giving spring once the destructive icy blasts of winter's tempests have run their course. As Baha'is, we know that the sovereign remedy for each and every one of these ills lies in turning and submitting to the skilled, the all-powerful and inspired physician. Baha'u'llah has assured us in his writings that God has not forsaken us. He is the all-seeing and all-knowing, the prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God to those who turn to Him in supplication, and He intervenes actively in human history by sending His manifestations, sources of knowledge and spiritual truth, to liberate the children of men from the darkness of ignorance and to ensure the peace and tranquility of mankind. In this age, God has determined to establish His everlasting kingdom among men, And so, to this end, he sent us this spirit and message of the new day through two successive manifestations, who alas, were rejected by the generality of people. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. O Son of Man! For everything there is a sign. The sign of love is fortitude under my decree and patience under my trials. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Man! For everything there is a sign. The sign of love is fortitude under my decree and patience under my trials. Baha'u'llah. The more difficulties one sees in the world, the more perfect one becomes. The more you plow and dig the ground, the more fertile it becomes. The more you put the gold in the fire, the purer it becomes. The more you sharpen the steel by grinding, the better it cuts. Therefore, the more sorrows one sees, the more perfect one becomes. That is why, in all times, the prophets of God have had tribulations and difficulties to withstand. The more often the captain of a ship is in the tempest and difficult sailing, the greater his knowledge becomes. Therefore I am happy that you have had great tribulations and difficulties. For this I am very happy, that you have had many sorrows. Strange it is that I love you and still I am happy that you have sorrows. Abdu'l-Bahá. The more difficulties one sees in the world, the more perfect one becomes. The more you plow and dig the ground, the more fertile it becomes. The more you put the gold in the fire, the purer it becomes. The more you sharpen the steel by grinding, the better it cuts. Therefore, the more sorrows one sees, the more perfect one becomes. That is why, in all times, the prophets of God have had tribulations and difficulties to withstand. The more often the captain of a ship is in the tempest and difficult sailing, the greater his knowledge becomes. Therefore I am happy that you have had great tribulations and difficulties. For this I am very happy, that you have had many sorrows. Strange it is that I love you and still I am happy that you have sorrows. Abdu'l-Bahá. These tests, even as thou didst write, do but cleanse the spotting of self from off the mirror of the heart, till the sun of truth can cast its rays thereon, for there is no veil more obstructive than the self, and however tenuous that veil may be, at the last it will completely shut a person out, and deprive him of his portion of eternal grace. Abdu'l-Bahá. These tests, even as thou didst write, do but cleanse the spotting of self from off the mirror of the heart, till the sun of truth can cast its rays thereon, for there is no veil more obstructive than the self, and however tenuous that veil may be, at the last it will completely shut a person out, and deprive him of his portion of eternal grace. Abdu'l-Bahá. The more one is severed from the world, from desires, from human affairs, and conditions, the more impervious does one become to the tests of God. Tests are a means by which a soul is measured as to its fitness, and proven out by its own acts. God knows its fitness beforehand, and also its unpreparedness, but man, with an ego, would not believe himself unfit unless proof were given him. Consequently, his susceptibility to evil is proven to him when he falls into the tests, and the tests are continued until the soul realizes its own unfitness, then remorse and regret tend to root out the weakness. The same test comes again in greater degree, until it is shown that a former weakness has become a strength, and the power to overcome evil has been established. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá. The more one is severed from the world, from desires, from human affairs, and conditions, the more impervious does one become to the tests of God. Tests are a means by which a soul is measured as to its fitness, and proven out by its own acts. God knows its fitness beforehand, and also its unpreparedness, but man, with an ego, would not believe himself unfit unless proof were given him. Consequently, his susceptibility to evil is proven to him when he falls into the tests, and the tests are continued until the soul realizes its own unfitness, then remorse and regret tend to root out the weakness. The same test comes again in greater degree, until it is shown that a former weakness has become a strength, and the power to overcome evil has been established. Attributed to Abdu'l-Bahá.
How often we seem to forget the clear and repeated warnings of our beloved Master, who, in particular during the concluding years of his mission on earth, laid stress on the "severe" mental tests that would inevitably sweep over his loved ones of the West, tests that would purge, purify and prepare them for their noble mission in life. Shaghi Effendi. How often we seem to forget the clear and repeated warnings of our beloved Master, who, in particular during the concluding years of his mission on earth, laid stress on the "severe" mental tests that would inevitably sweep over his loved ones of the West, tests that would purge, purify and prepare them for their noble mission in life. Shaghi Effendi. Suffering, of one kind or another, seems to be the portion of man in this world. Even the beloved ones, the prophets of God, have never been exempt from the ills that are to be found in our world: poverty, disease, bereavement. They seem to be part of the polish God employs to make us finer and enable us to reflect more of His attributes. No doubt in the future, when the foundation of society is laid according to the divine plan, and men become truly spiritualized, a vast amount of our present ills and problems will be remedied. We who toil now are paving the way for a far better world, and this knowledge must uphold and strengthen us through every trial. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. Suffering, of one kind or another, seems to be the portion of man in this world. Even the beloved ones, the prophets of God, have never been exempt from the ills that are to be found in our world: poverty, disease, bereavement. They seem to be part of the polish God employs to make us finer and enable us to reflect more of His attributes. No doubt in the future, when the foundation of society is laid according to the divine plan, and men become truly spiritualized, a vast amount of our present ills and problems will be remedied. We who toil now are paving the way for a far better world, and this knowledge must uphold and strengthen us through every trial. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. Naturally, there will be periods of distress and difficulty, and even severe tests, but if that person turns firmly towards the divine manifestation, studies carefully his spiritual teachings and receives the blessings of the Holy Spirit, he will find that in reality these tests and difficulties have been the gifts of God to enable him to grow and develop. Thus you might look upon your own difficulties in the path of service. They are the means of your spirit growing and developing. You will suddenly find that you have conquered many of the problems which upset you, and then you will wonder why they should have troubled you at all. written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. Naturally, there will be periods of distress and difficulty, and even severe tests, but if that person turns firmly towards the divine manifestation, studies carefully his spiritual teachings and receives the blessings of the Holy Spirit, he will find that in reality these tests and difficulties have been the gifts of God to enable him to grow and develop. Thus you might look upon your own difficulties in the path of service. They are the means of your spirit growing and developing. You will suddenly find that you have conquered many of the problems which upset you, and then you will wonder why they should have troubled you at all. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The guardian urges you not to be discouraged by any setbacks you may have. Life is a process of trials and testings, and these are contrary to what we are prone to thinking good for us, and give us stamina, and teach us to rely on God. Knowing He will help us, we can help ourselves more. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The guardian urges you not to be discouraged by any setbacks you may have. Life is a process of trials and testings, and these are contrary to what we are prone to thinking good for us, and give us stamina, and teach us to rely on God. Knowing He will help us, we can help ourselves more. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. O thou servant of God! Do not grieve at the afflictions and calamities that have befallen thee. All calamities and afflictions have been created for man, so that he may spurn this mortal world, a world to which he is much attached. When he experienceth severe trials and hardships, then his nature will recoil, and he will desire the eternal realm, a realm which is sanctified from all afflictions and calamities. Such is the case with the man who is wise. He shall never drink from a cup which is at the end distasteful, but, on the contrary, he will seek the cup of pure and limpid water. He will not taste of the honey that is mixed with poison. Abdul Baha. O thou servant of God! Do not grieve at the afflictions and calamities that have befallen thee. All calamities and afflictions have been created for man, so that he may spurn this mortal world, a world to which he is much attached. When he experienceth severe trials and hardships, then his nature will recoil, and he will desire the eternal realm, a realm which is sanctified from all afflictions and calamities. Such is the case with the man who is wise. He shall never drink from a cup which is at the end distasteful, but, on the contrary, he will seek the cup of pure and limpid water. He will not taste of the honey that is mixed with poison. Abdul Baha. No comfort can be secured by any soul in this world, from monarch down to the most humble commoner. If once this life should offer a man a sweet cup, 100 bitter ones will follow, such is the condition of this world. The wise man, therefore, doth not attach himself to this mortal life, and doth not depend upon it. At some moments, even, he eagerly wisheth for death that he may thereby be freed from these sorrows and afflictions. Abdul Baha. No comfort can be secured by any soul in this world, from monarch down to the most humble commoner. If once this life should offer a man a sweet cup, 100 bitter ones will follow, such is the condition of this world. The wise man, therefore, doth not attach himself to this mortal life, and doth not depend upon it. At some moments, even, he eagerly wisheth for death that he may thereby be freed from these sorrows and afflictions. Abdul Baha. We must realize that everything which happens is due to some wisdom, and that nothing happens without a reason. Abdu'l-Bahá. We must realize that everything which happens is due to some wisdom, and that nothing happens without a reason. Abdu'l-Bahá. We are living in a day of reliance upon material conditions. Men imagine that the great size and strength of a ship, the perfection of machinery or the skill of a navigator, will ensure safety, but these disasters, the sinking of the Titanic, sometimes take place that men may know that God is the real protector. If it be the will of God to protect man, a little ship may escape destruction, whereas the greatest and most perfectly constructed vessel with the best and most skillful navigator may not survive a danger such as was present on the ocean. The purpose is that the people of the world may turn to God, the one protector, that human souls may rely upon his preservation and know that he is the real safety. Let no one imagine that these words imply that man should not be thorough and careful in his undertakings. God has endowed man with intelligence so that he may safeguard and protect himself. Therefore, he must provide and surround himself with all that scientific skill can produce. He must be deliberate, thoughtful and thorough in his purposes, build the best ship and provide the most experienced captain, yet, withal, let him rely upon God and consider God as the one keeper. If God protects, nothing can imperil man's safety, and if it be not his will to safeguard, no amount of preparation and precaution will avail. Abdu'l-Bahá. We are living in a day of reliance upon material conditions. Men imagine that the great size and strength of a ship, the perfection of machinery or the skill of a navigator, will ensure safety, but these disasters, the sinking of the Titanic, sometimes take place that men may know that God is the real protector. If it be the will of God to protect man, a little ship may escape destruction, whereas the greatest and most perfectly constructed vessel with the best and most skillful navigator may not survive a danger such as was present on the ocean. The purpose is that the people of the world may turn to God, the one protector, that human souls may rely upon his preservation and know that he is the real safety. Let no one imagine that these words imply that man should not be thorough and careful in his undertakings. God has endowed man with intelligence so that he may safeguard and protect himself. Therefore, he must provide and surround himself with all that scientific skill can produce. He must be deliberate, thoughtful and thorough in his purposes, build the best ship and provide the most experienced captain, yet, withal, let him rely upon God and consider God as the one keeper. If God protects, nothing can imperil man's safety, and if it be not his will to safeguard, no amount of preparation and precaution will avail. Abdu'l-Bahá.
Suffering is both a reminder and a guide. It stimulates us better to adapt ourselves to our environmental conditions, and thus leads the way to self-improvement. In every suffering one can find a meaning and a wisdom. But it is not always easy to find the secret of that wisdom. It is sometimes only when all our suffering has passed that we become aware of its usefulness. What man considers to be evil turns often to be a cause of infinite blessings. And this is due to his desire to know more than he can. God's wisdom is, indeed, inscrutable to us all, and it is no use pushing too far trying to discover that which will always remain a mystery to our mind. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. Suffering is both a reminder and a guide. It stimulates us better to adapt ourselves to our environmental conditions, and thus leads the way to self-improvement. In every suffering one can find a meaning and a wisdom. But it is not always easy to find the secret of that wisdom. It is sometimes only when all our suffering has passed that we become aware of its usefulness. What man considers to be evil turns often to be a cause of infinite blessings. And this is due to his desire to know more than he can. God's wisdom is, indeed, inscrutable to us all, and it is no use pushing too far trying to discover that which will always remain a mystery to our mind. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. It is strange how much suffering man has to put up with while on this earth. Our consolation should be, however, that it is part of a divine plan whose worth we cannot yet fathom. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. It is strange how much suffering man has to put up with while on this earth. Our consolation should be, however, that it is part of a divine plan whose worth we cannot yet fathom. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. In his letter of 19 August 1994, raises a number of questions on the subjects of suffering and free will. He asks if all tests are sent by God back quote aside from the tests we cause ourselves or each other, for the individual or collective purification of humanity, or if some are back quote purely coincidental, such as an earthquake or a terminal illness. He also wants to know if back quote man's free will is ever utilized to bring about God's will. To exemplify this question, he points to the murder of the covenant breaker Sayyid Muhammad I Isfahani by three of the Baha'is living with Baha'u'llah and AKKA at that time. He notes that Baha'u'llah forbade such an action, and was dismayed when it happened, and yet, in the Kitab I Akdas, he points to the death of Sayyid Muhammad as a warning to Mirza Yahya and declares behold, God hath laid hold on him Sayyid Muhammad who led thee astray. That is, it could appear in this instance that God used innocent and faithful people to commit a repugnant deed in order to accomplish his own purpose. As has noted from the materials he has already studied, the questions of suffering and free will are both profound and hard to understand. In some pilgrims' notes ABDU'l-Baha indicates that the suffering of innocent creatures and human free will are two of God's three great mysteries, the third being the mystery of good and evil. Nevertheless, a number of Baha'i texts shed light on these subjects. We especially note the following points. There are two kinds of suffering, one for testing, one for punishment. Humanity as a whole is experiencing divine punishment, retributory calamity, including UPHEAVALS war, famine, and pestilence. Some tests are a result of man's choices, his free will. God's foreknowledge of events does not cause them. Everything that happens is good for God's loved ones. God uses everything that happens for his own purposes. This last point is, perhaps, especially pertinent to a consideration of the murder of Sayyid Muhammad I Isfahani by faithful followers of Baha'u'llah. It cannot be said that committing the murder accorded with the will of God, as it was a clear breach of the law of God as directed by Baha'u'llah himself. However, the statement that God rendereth his cause victorious at one time through the aid of his enemies, and at another by virtue of the assistance of his chosen ones seems to imply that everyone, including those who out of their free, will choose to oppose the cause of God, or to disobey his laws, in the last analysis remains an instrument of God. This accords with the assumption that everything that happens is an expression or instrument of divine will, that all are his servants, and all abide by his bidding. Although everything that happens is not necessarily caused by God. The difference between those who consciously choose to turn to God and those who oppose or disobey him, it would seem, is that the former consciously choose the complete surrender of one's will to the will of God. This argument is taken from a commentary by Arash Abizadeh, published in the journal Off Baha'i Studies, Vol. 3, number 1, pages 67 to 73. May also wish to refer to the presentation of J.E. Esselmont, made in Baha'u'llah in the New Era on the subject of universal suffering. Memorandum of the Research Department. In his letter of 19 August 1994, raises a number of questions on the subjects of suffering and free will. He asks if all tests are sent by God "aside from the tests we cause ourselves or each other, for the individual or collective purification of humanity, or if some are "purely coincidental, such as an earthquake or a terminal illness. He also wants to know if "man's free will is ever utilized to bring about God's will. To exemplify this question, he points to the murder of the covenant breaker Sayyid Muhammad I Isfahani by three of the Baha'is living with Baha'u'llah in "AKKA" at that time. He notes that Baha'u'llah forbade such an action, and was dismayed when it happened, and yet, in the Kitab-i-Aqdas, he points to the death of Sayyid Muhammad as a warning to Mirza Yahya and declares "behold, God hath laid hold on him Sayyid Muhammad who led thee astray." That is, it could appear in this instance that God used innocent and faithful people to commit a repugnant deed in order to accomplish his own purpose. As has noted from the materials he has already studied, the questions of suffering and free will are both profound and hard to understand. In some pilgrims' notes "abdu'l-baha" indicates that the suffering of innocent creatures and human free will are two of God's three great mysteries, the third being the mystery of good and evil. Nevertheless, a number of Baha'i texts shed light on these subjects. We especially note the following points. There are two kinds of suffering, one for testing, one for punishment. Humanity as a whole is experiencing divine punishment, retributory calamity, including "upheavals" war, famine, and pestilence. Some tests are a result of man's choices, his free will. God's foreknowledge of events does not cause them. Everything that happens is good for God's loved ones. God uses everything that happens for his own purposes. This last point is, perhaps, especially pertinent to a consideration of the murder of Sayyid Muhammad I Isfahani by faithful followers of Baha'u'llah. It cannot be said that committing the murder accorded with the will of God, as it was a clear breach of the law of God as directed by Baha'u'llah himself. However, the statement that God rendereth his cause victorious at one time through the aid of his enemies, and at another by virtue of the assistance of his chosen ones seems to imply that everyone, including those who out of their free will choose to oppose the cause of God, or to disobey his laws, in the last analysis remains an instrument of God. This accords with the assumption that everything that happens is an expression or instrument of divine will, that all are his servants, and all abide by his bidding, although everything that happens is not necessarily caused by God. The difference between those who consciously choose to turn to God and those who oppose or disobey him, it would seem, is that the former consciously choose the complete surrender of one's will to the will of God. This argument is taken from a commentary by Arash Abizadeh, published in the journal Off Baha'i Studies, Vol. 3, number 1, pages 67 to 73. May also wish to refer to the presentation of J.E. Esselmont, made in Baha'u'llah in the New Era on the subject of universal suffering. Memorandum of the Research Department. The Almighty hath tried, and will continue to try, his servants, so that light may be distinguished from darkness, truth from falsehood, right from wrong, guidance from error, happiness from misery, and roses from thorns. Even as he hath revealed. "O men think when they say we believe they shall be let alone and not be put to proof." Baha'u'llah. the Almighty hath tried, and will continue to try, his servants, so that light may be distinguished from darkness, truth from falsehood, right from wrong, guidance from error, happiness from misery, and roses from thorns. Even as he hath revealed. O men think when they say we believe they shall be let alone and not be put to proof. Baha'u'llah. He who is the dayspring of truth is, no doubt, fully capable of rescuing from such remoteness wayward souls, and of causing them to draw nigh unto his court, and attain his presence. If God had pleased, he had surely made all men one people. His purpose, however, is to enable the pure in spirit and the detached in heart to ascend, by virtue of their own innate powers, unto the shores of the most great ocean, that thereby they who seek the beauty of the All-Glorious may be distinguished and separated from the wayward and perverse. Thus hath it been ordained by the All-Glorious and Resplendent Pen. Baha'u'llah. He who is the dayspring of truth is, no doubt, fully capable of rescuing from such remoteness wayward souls, and of causing them to draw nigh unto his court, and attain his presence. If God had pleased, he had surely made all men one people. His purpose, however, is to enable the pure in spirit and the detached in heart to ascend, by virtue of their own innate powers, unto the shores of the most great ocean, that thereby they who seek the beauty of the All-Glorious may be distinguished and separated from the wayward and perverse. Thus hath it been ordained by the All-Glorious and Resplendent Pen. Baha'u'llah. Inasmuch as the divine purpose hash decreed that the true should be known from the false, and the sun from the shadow, he hash, therefore, in every season sent down upon mankind the showers of tests from his realm of glory. Baha'u'llah. Inasmuch as the divine purpose hash decreed that the true should be known from the false, and the sun from the shadow, he hash, therefore, in every season sent down upon mankind the showers of tests from his realm of glory. Baha'u'llah. Tests and trials only cause agitation to weak hearts. But to the pure souls, 100,000 tests are but to them like mirage, imagination and shadow. The shadow cannot withstand the rays of the sun, and pure fragrances of holiness will not be concealed through the doubts of the beetle. The headache of wavering, or hesitancy, will not affect those exhilarated with the wine of the love of God. Abdu'l-Baha. Tests and trials only cause agitation to weak hearts. But to the pure souls, 100,000 tests are but to them like mirage, imagination and shadow. The shadow cannot withstand the rays of the sun, and pure fragrances of holiness will not be concealed through the doubts of the beetle. The headache of wavering, or hesitancy, will not affect those exhilarated with the wine of the love of God. Abdu'l-Baha. Not until man is tried doth the pure gold distinctly separate from the dross. Torment is the fire of test wherein the pure gold shineth resplendently, and the impurity is burned and blackened. Abdu'l-Baha. Not until man is tried doth the pure gold distinctly separate from the dross. Torment is the fire of test wherein the pure gold shineth resplendently, and the impurity is burned and blackened. Abdu'l-Baha. Thy detailed letter was received. Its perusal produced the utmost happiness, for it evidences the fact that thou hast attained to the knowledge of the reality of tests, that tests endured in the path of God are conducive to confirmation, nay, rather, they are heavenly powers and the bounties of the realm of might. But to weak believers tests are trials and examination, for, on account of the weakness of their faith and assurance they fall into difficulties and vicissitudes. However, to those souls who are firm and steadfast, tests are the greatest favors. Consider thou that at the time of an examination in sciences and arts, the dull and lazy pupil finds himself in calamity. But to the intelligent and sagacious student examination and learning produces honor and infinite happiness. Alloyed gold, subjected to the fire, portrays its baseness, while the intensity of the flame enhances the beauty of pure gold. Therefore, tests to the weak souls are calamity and to the veiled ones the cause of their disgrace and humiliation. The point is this, that in the path of truth every difficulty is made plain, and every trial is the matchless bounty. Therefore, the believers of God and made servants of the merciful must not relax during trial, and no disaster must deter their service in the cause of God. Abdu'l-Baha. Thy detailed letter was received. Its perusal produced the utmost happiness, for it evidences the fact that thou hast attained to the knowledge of the reality of tests, that tests endured in the path of God are conducive to confirmation, nay, rather, they are heavenly powers and the bounties of the realm of might. But to weak believers tests are trials and examination, for, on account of the weakness of their faith and assurance they fall into difficulties and vicissitudes. However, to those souls who are firm and steadfast, tests are the greatest favors. Consider thou that at the time of an examination in sciences and arts, the dull and lazy pupil finds himself in calamity. But to the intelligent and sagacious student examination and learning produces honor and infinite happiness. Alloyed gold, subjected to the fire, portrays its baseness, while the intensity of the flame enhances the beauty of pure gold. Therefore, tests to the weak souls are calamity and to the veiled ones the cause of their disgrace and humiliation. The point is this, that in the path of truth every difficulty is made plain, and every trial is the matchless bounty. Therefore, the believers of God and made servants of the merciful must not relax during trial, and no disaster must deter their service in the cause of God. Abdu'l-Baha. It is easy to approach the kingdom of heaven, but hard to stand firm and staunch within it, for the tests are rigorous and heavy to bear. Abdu'l-Baha. It is easy to approach the kingdom of heaven, but hard to stand firm and staunch within it, for the tests are rigorous and heavy to bear. Abdu'l-Baha. Unless the season of winter appear, thunder roll, lightning flash, snow and rain fall, hail and frost descend, and the intensity of cold execute its command, the season of the soul refreshing spring would not come, the fragrant breeze would not waft, the moderation of temperature would not be realized, the roses and hyacinths would not grow, the surface of the earth would not become a delectable paradise, the trees would not bloom, neither would they bring forth fruits and leaves. That fierce inclemency of cold, snow, frost and tempest was the beginning of the manifestation of these roses, hyacinths, buds, blossoms and fruits. Therefore, be not distressed on account of those adversities which fell upon thee, nay, rather, arise and render thanks that the ultimate goal is the attainment to this eminent bounty and the enjoyment of this highest gift of the Almighty God. Consequently gird up the loins of thine endeavor, that thereby some results might be produced, some fruits gathered, the lamp of everlasting life ignited, and the gifts of the Lord of the kingdom be manifest, so that thou mayest accomplish again, with great yearning and exultation, the worship of the Lord of hosts. Abdu'l-Baha. unless the season of winter appear, thunder roll, lightning flash, snow and rain fall, hail and frost descend, and the intensity of cold execute its command, the season of the soul-refreshing spring would not come, the fragrant breeze would not waft, the moderation of temperature would not be realized, the roses and hyacinths would not grow, the surface of the earth would not become a delectable paradise, the trees would not bloom, neither would they bring forth fruits and leaves. That fierce inclemency of cold, snow, frost and tempest was the beginning of the manifestation of these roses, hyacinths, buds, blossoms and fruits. Therefore, be not distressed on account of those adversities which fell upon thee, nay, rather, arise and render thanks that the ultimate goal is the attainment to this eminent bounty and the enjoyment of this highest gift of the Almighty God. Consequently gird up the loins of thine endeavor, that thereby some results might be produced, some fruits gathered, the lamp of everlasting life ignited, and the gifts of the Lord of the kingdom be manifest, so that thou mayest accomplish again, with great yearning and exultation, the worship of the Lord of hosts. Abdu'l-Bahá. The necessity and the particularity of the assured and believing ones is to be firm in the cause of God and withstand the hidden and evident tests. Thanks be to God that you are distinguished and made eminent by this blessing. In circumstances of ease and comfort, health and well-being, gratification and felicity, anyone can live contentedly, but to remain happy and contented in the face of difficulty, hardship and the onslaught of disease and sickness, this is an indication of nobility. Praise be to God that his dear handmaiden evinceth endless patience in the face of affliction, and gives thanks where others might repine. Verily I am pleased with both you and your husband, and I ask God that you may find pleasure and ease in another world, for this earthly world is narrow, dark and frightful, rest cannot be imagined, and happiness really is non-existent, everyone is captured in the net of sorrow, and is day and night enslaved by the chain of calamity. There is no one who is at all free or at rest from grief and affliction. Still, as the believers of God are turning to the limitless world, they do not become very depressed and sad by disastrous calamities. There is something to console them, but the others in no way have anything to comfort them at the time of calamity. Whenever a calamity and a hardship occurs, they become sad and disappointed, and hopeless of the bounty and the mercy of the glorious Lord. Abdu'l-Bahá. The necessity and the particularity of the assured and believing ones is to be firm in the cause of God and withstand the hidden and evident tests. Thanks be to God that you are distinguished and made eminent by this blessing. In circumstances of ease and comfort, health and well-being, gratification and felicity, anyone can live contentedly, but to remain happy and contented in the face of difficulty, hardship and the onslaught of disease and sickness, this is an indication of nobility. Praise be to God that his dear handmaiden evinceth endless patience in the face of affliction, and gives thanks where others might repine. Verily I am pleased with both you and your husband, and I ask God that you may find pleasure and ease in another world, for this earthly world is narrow, dark and frightful, rest cannot be imagined, and happiness really is non-existent, everyone is captured in the net of sorrow, and is day and night enslaved by the chain of calamity. There is no one who is at all free or at rest from grief and affliction. Still, as the believers of God are turning to the limitless world, they do not become very depressed and sad by disastrous calamities. There is something to console them, but the others in no way have anything to comfort them at the time of calamity. Whenever a calamity and a hardship occurs, they become sad and disappointed, and hopeless of the bounty and the mercy of the glorious Lord. Abdu'l-Bahá. There is always an important difference between friends and tested friends. No matter how precious the first type may be, the future of the cause rests upon the latter. Written on behalf of Shaghi Effendi. There is always an important difference between friends and tested friends. No matter how precious the first type may be, The future of the cause rests upon the latter. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. O people of God! That which traineth the world is justice, for it is upheld by two pillars, reward and punishment. These two pillars are the sources of life to the world. Baha'u'llah. O people of God! That which traineth the world is justice, for it is upheld by two pillars, reward and punishment. These two pillars are the sources of life to the world. Baha'u'llah. The structure of world stability and order hath been reared upon, and will continue to be sustained by, the twin pillars of reward and punishment. Justice hath a mighty force at its command. It is none other than reward and punishment for the deeds of men. By the power of this force, the tabernacle of order is established throughout the world, causing the wicked to restrain their natures for fear of punishment. Baha'u'llah. The structure of world stability and order hath been reared upon, and will continue to be sustained by, the twin pillars of reward and punishment. Justice hath a mighty force at its command. It is none other than reward and punishment for the deeds of men. By the power of this force, the tabernacle of order is established throughout the world, causing the wicked to restrain their natures for fear of punishment. Baha'u'llah. I know not, O my God, what the fire is which thou didst kindle in thy land. Earth can never cloud its splendor, nor water quench its flame. Some, O my God, thou didst, through thy strengthening grace, enable to approach it, while others thou didst keep back by reason of what their hands have wrought in thy days. Baha'u'llah. I know not, O my God, what the fire is which thou didst kindle in thy land. Earth can never cloud its splendor, nor water quench its flame. Some, O my God, thou didst, through thy strengthening grace, enable to approach it, while others thou didst keep back by reason of what their hands have wrought in thy days. Baha'u'llah. The trials of man are of two kinds. A. The consequences of his own actions. If a man eats too much, he ruins his digestion. If he takes poison, he becomes ill or dies. If a person gambles, he will lose his money. If he drinks too much, he will lose his equilibrium. All these sufferings are caused by the man himself. It is quite dear therefore that certain sorrows are the result of our own deeds. B. Other sufferings there are, which come upon the faithful of God. Consider the great sorrows endured by Christ and by his apostles. Abdu'l-Baha. The trials of man are of two kinds. A. The consequences of his own actions. If a man eats too much, he ruins his digestion. If he takes poison, he becomes ill or dies. If a person gambles, he will lose his money. If he drinks too much, he will lose his equilibrium. All these sufferings are caused by the man himself. It is quite dear therefore that certain sorrows are the result of our own deeds. B. Other sufferings there are, which come upon the faithful of God. Consider the great sorrows endured by Christ and by his apostles. Abdu'l-Baha. War and rapine with their attendant cruelties are an abomination to God, and bring their own punishment, for the God of love is also a God of justice, and each man must inevitably reap what he sows. Abdu'l-Baha. war and rapine with their attendant cruelties, are an abomination to God, and bring their own punishment, for the God of love is also a God of justice, and each man must inevitably reap what he sows. Abdu'l-Bahá. Thou hast asked about ordeal, adversities and tribulations, whether they are of God or the result of man's evil deeds. Know thou that ordeals are of two kinds. One is for tests, and the other for punishment of misdeeds. That which is for testing is for one's education and development, and that which is for punishment of deeds is severe retribution. The father and the teacher sometimes show tenderness towards the children and at other times deal harshly with them. Such severity is for educational purposes, it is true tenderness and absolute bounty and grace. Although in appearance it is wrath, in reality it is kindness. Although outwardly it is an ordeal, inwardly it is a cooling draft. In both cases prayers and supplications should be offered at the sacred threshold, so that thou mayest remain firm in tests, and patient in ordeals. Abdu'l-Bahá. Thou hast asked about ordeal, adversities and tribulations, whether they are of God or the result of man's evil deeds. Know thou that ordeals are of two kinds. One is for tests, and the other for punishment of misdeeds. That which is for testing is for one's education and development, and that which is for punishment of deeds is severe retribution. The father and the teacher sometimes show tenderness towards the children and at other times deal harshly with them. Such severity is for educational purposes, it is true tenderness and absolute bounty and grace. Although in appearance it is wrath, in reality it is kindness. Although outwardly it is an ordeal, inwardly it is a cooling draft. In both cases prayers and supplications should be offered at the sacred threshold, so that thou mayest remain firm in tests, and patient in ordeals. Abdu'l-Bahá. Know that there are two kinds of torment, subtle and gross. For example, ignorance itself is a torment, but it is a subtle torment, indifference to God is itself a torment, so also are falsehood, cruelty and treachery. All the imperfections are torments, but they are subtle torments. Certainly for an intelligent man death is better than sin, and a cut tongue is better than lying or calumny. The other kind of torment is gross, such as penalties, imprisonment, beating, expulsion and banishment. But for the people of God, separation from God is the greatest torment of all. Abdu'l-Bahá. Know that there are two kinds of torment, subtle and gross. For example, ignorance itself is a torment, but it is a subtle torment, indifference to God is itself a torment, so also are falsehood, cruelty and treachery. All the imperfections are torments, but they are subtle torments. Certainly for an intelligent man death is better than sin, and a cut tongue is better than lying or calumny. The other kind of torment is gross, such as penalties, imprisonment, beating, expulsion and banishment. But for the people of God, separation from God is the greatest torment of all. Abdu'l-Bahá.
It is certainly the case that sins are a potent cause of physical ailments. If humankind were free from the defilements of sin and waywardness, and lived according to a natural, inborn equilibrium, without following wherever their passions led, it is undeniable that diseases would no longer take the ascendant, nor diversify with such intensity. But man hath perversely continued to serve his lustful appetites, and he would not content himself with simple foods. Rather, he prepared for himself food that was compounded of many ingredients, of substances differing one from the other. With this, and with the perpetrating of vile and ignoble acts, his attention was engrossed, and he abandoned the temperance and moderation of a natural way of life. The result was the engendering of diseases both violent and diverse. Abdu'l-Bahá. It is certainly the case that sins are a potent cause of physical ailments. If humankind were free from the defilements of sin and waywardness, and lived according to a natural, inborn equilibrium, without following wherever their passions led, it is undeniable that diseases would no longer take the ascendant, nor diversify with such intensity. But man hath perversely continued to serve his lustful appetites, and he would not content himself with simple foods. Rather, he prepared for himself food that was compounded of many ingredients, of substances differing one from the other. With this, and with the perpetrating of vile and ignoble acts, his attention was engrossed, and he abandoned the temperance and moderation of a natural way of life. The result was the engendering of diseases both violent and diverse. Abdu'l-Bahá. There are calamities for testing and for punishment. There are also accidents, plain cause and effect. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. There are calamities for testing and for punishment. There are also accidents, plain cause and effect. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. In considering the effect of obedience to the laws on individual lives, one must remember that the purpose of this life is to prepare the soul for the next. Here one must learn to control and direct one's animal impulses, not to be a slave to them. Life in this world is a succession of tests and achievements, of falling short and of making new spiritual advances. Sometimes the course may seem very hard, but one can witness, again and again, that the soul who steadfastly obeys the law of Baha'u'llah, however hard it may seem, grows spiritually, while the one who compromises with the law for the sake of his own apparent happiness is seen to have been following a chimera. He does not attain the happiness he sought, he retards his spiritual advance and often brings new problems upon himself. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. In considering the effect of obedience to the laws on individual lives, one must remember that the purpose of this life is to prepare the soul for the next. Here one must learn to control and direct one's animal impulses, not to be a slave to them. Life in this world is a succession of tests and achievements, of falling short and of making new spiritual advances. Sometimes the course may seem very hard, but one can witness, again and again, that the soul who steadfastly obeys the law of Baha'u'llah, however hard it may seem, grows spiritually, while the one who compromises with the law for the sake of his own apparent happiness is seen to have been following a chimera. He does not attain the happiness he sought, he retards his spiritual advance and often brings new problems upon himself. Written on behalf of the Universal House of Justice. Behold how in this dispensation the worthless and foolish have fondly imagined that by such instruments as massacre, plunder, and banishment they can extinguish the lamp which the hand of divine power hath lit, or eclipse the day star of everlasting splendor. How utterly unaware they seem to be of the truth that such adversity is the oil that feedeth the flame of this lamp. Such is God's transforming power. He changeth whatsoever he willeth, he verily hath power over all things. Baha'u'llah. Behold how in this dispensation the worthless and foolish have fondly imagined that by such instruments as massacre, plunder, and banishment they can extinguish the lamp which the hand of divine power hath lit, or eclipse the day star of everlasting splendor. How utterly unaware they seem to be of the truth that such adversity is the oil that feedeth the flame of this lamp. Such is God's transforming power. He changeth whatsoever he willeth. He verily hath power over all things. Baha'u'llah. This is the result of the slanderer's work, to be the cause of guiding men to a discovery of the truth. We know that all the falsehoods spread about Christ and his apostles and all the books written against him only led the people to inquire into his doctrine. Then, having seen the beauty and inhaled the fragrance, they walked evermore amidst the roses and the fruits of that celestial garden. Abdu'l-Bahá. This is the result of the slanderer's work, to be the cause of guiding men to a discovery of the truth. We know that all the falsehoods spread about Christ and his apostles and all the books written against him only led the people to inquire into his doctrine. Then, having seen the beauty and inhaled the fragrance, they walked evermore amidst the roses and the fruits of that celestial garden. Abdu'l-Bahá. The attacks and the obstructiveness of the ignorant but caused the word of God to be exalted, and spread his signs and tokens far and wide. Were it not for this opposition by the disdainful, this obduracy of the slanderers, this shouting from the pulpits, this crying and wailing of great and small alike, these accusations of unbelief leveled by the ignorant, this uproar from the foolish, how could news of the advent of the Bream El Point and the bright dawning of the day star of Baha ever have reached to east and west? How else could the planet have been rocked from pole to pole? All these blessings and bestowals, the very means of proclaiming the faith, have come about through the scorn of the ignorant, the opposition of the foolish, the stubbornness of the dull-witted, the violence of the aggressor. Had it not been for these things, the news of the Bab's advent would not, to this day, have reached even into lands hard by. Wherefore we should never grieve over the blindness of the unwitting, the attacks of the foolish, the hostility of the low and base, the heedlessness of the divines, the charges of infidelity brought against us by the empty of mind. Abdu'l-Bahá. The attacks and the obstructiveness of the ignorant but caused the word of God to be exalted, and spread his signs and tokens far and wide. Were it not for this opposition by the disdainful, this obduracy of the slanderers, this shouting from the pulpits, this crying and wailing of great and small alike, these accusations of unbelief leveled by the ignorant, this uproar from the foolish, how could news of the advent of the Bream El Point and the bright dawning of the day star of Baha ever have reached to east and west? How else could the planet have been rocked from pole to pole? All these blessings and bestowals, the very means of proclaiming the faith, have come about through the scorn of the ignorant, the opposition of the foolish, the stubbornness of the dull-witted, the violence of the aggressor. Had it not been for these things, the news of the Bab's advent would not, to this day, have reached even into lands hard by. Wherefore we should never grieve over the blindness of the unwitting, the attacks of the foolish, the hostility of the low and base, the heedlessness of the divines, the charges of infidelity brought against us by the empty of mind. Abdu'l-Bahá. For the history of the cause, particularly in Persia, is a clear illustration of the truth that such persecutions invariably serve to strengthen the believers in their faith, by stimulating the spiritual powers latent in their hearts, and by awakening in them a new and deeper consciousness of their duties and responsibilities towards the faith. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. For the history of the cause, particularly in Persia, is a clear illustration of the truth that such persecutions invariably serve to strengthen the believers in their faith, by stimulating the spiritual powers latent in their hearts, and by awakening in them a new and deeper consciousness of their duties and responsibilities towards the faith. Written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi. The most effective means whereby this light of truth is safeguarded and protected is the onslaught of the enemies, grievous ordeals, and manifold hardships. The globe of this lamp is the tempestuous winds and the safety of the ship leaf in the violence of tumultuous waves. Therefore one must show forth gratitude in the face of job-like afflictions and must evince joy and pleasure at the unyielding cruelty of evildoers, inasmuch as such tribulations lead to immortality, and serve as the supreme factor to attract his consummate blessings and infinite bestowals. Abdu'l-Bahá. The most effective means whereby this light of truth is safeguarded and protected is the onslaught of the enemies, grievous ordeals, and manifold hardships. The globe of this lamp is the tempestuous winds and the safety of the ship leaf in the violence of tumultuous waves. Therefore one must show forth gratitude in the face of job-like afflictions and must evince joy and pleasure at the unyielding cruelty of evildoers, inasmuch as such tribulations lead to immortality, and serve as the supreme factor to attract his consummate blessings and infinite bestowals. Abdu'l-Bahá. These perils, sufferings, and commotions are blessings in disguise, which pave the way and prepare the hearts of those who face and sustain them for a deeper realization and an earlier and fuller acceptance of the divine message of Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi. These perils, sufferings, and commotions are blessings in disguise, which pave the way and prepare the hearts of those who face and sustain them for a deeper realization and an earlier and fuller acceptance of the divine message of Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi. Adversity prepares the hearts of men, and paves the way for a wholehearted and general acceptance of the tenets and claims of our beloved faith. Shoghi Effendi. Adversity prepares the hearts of men, and paves the way for a wholehearted and general acceptance of the tenets and claims of our beloved faith. Shoghi Effendi. Whatsoever occurreth in the world of being is light for his loved ones and fire for the people of sedition and strife. Even if all the losses of the world were to be sustained by one of the friends of God, he would still profit thereby, whereas true loss would be borne by such as are wayward, ignorant, and contemptuous. Although the author of the following saying had intended it otherwise, yet we find it pertinent to the operation of God's immutable will, even or odd, thou shalt win the wager. The friends of God shall win and profit under all conditions, and shall attain true wealth. In fire they remain cold, and from water they emerge dry. Their affairs are at variance with the affairs of men. Gain is their lot, whatever the deal. To this testifieth every wise one with a discerning eye, and every fair-minded one with a hearing ear. Baha'u'llah. Whatsoever occurreth in the world of being is light for his loved ones and fire for the people of sedition and strife. Even if all the losses of the world were to be sustained by one of the friends of God, he would still profit thereby, whereas true loss would be borne by such as are wayward, ignorant, and contemptuous. Although the author of the following saying had intended it otherwise, yet we find it pertinent to the operation of God's immutable will, even or odd, thou shalt win the wager. The friends of God shall win and profit under all conditions, and shall attain true wealth. In fire they remain cold, and from water they emerge dry. Their affairs are at variance with the affairs of men. Gain is their lot, whatever the deal. To this testifieth every wise one with a discerning eye, and every fair-minded one with a hearing ear. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Man! My calamity is my providence, outwardly it is fire and vengeance, but inwardly it is light and mercy. Hasten thereunto that thou mayest become an eternal light and an immortal spirit. This is my command unto thee, do thou observe it. Baha'u'llah. O Son of Man! My calamity is my providence, outwardly it is fire and vengeance, but inwardly it is light and mercy. Hasten thereunto that thou mayest become an eternal light and an immortal spirit. This is my command unto thee, do thou observe it. Baha'u'llah. Thou lookest upon them that are dear to thee with the eyes of thy loving kindness, and sendest down for them only that which will profit them through thy grace and thy gifts. Baha'u'llah. Thou lookest upon them that are dear to thee with the eyes of thy loving kindness, and sendest down for them only that which will profit them through thy grace and thy gifts. Baha'u'llah. O thou whose tests are a healing medicine to such as are nigh unto thee, whose sword is the ardent desire of all them that love thee, whose dart is the dearest wish of those hearts that yearn after thee, whose decree is the sole hope of them that have recognized thy truth. Baha'u'llah. O thou whose tests are a healing medicine to such as are nigh unto thee, whose sword is the ardent desire of all them that love thee, whose dart is the dearest wish of those hearts that yearn after thee, whose decree is the sole hope of them that have recognized thy truth. Baha'u'llah. O thou whose trial is the healer of the sicknesses of them who have embraced thy cause, whose calamity is the highest aspiration of such as are rid of all attachment to anyone but thyself. Baha'u'llah. O thou whose trial is the healer of the sicknesses of them who have embraced thy cause, whose calamity is the highest aspiration of such as are rid of all attachment to anyone but thyself. Baha'u'llah. How sweet is the thought of thee in times of adversity and trial, and how delightful to glorify thee when compassed about with the fierce winds of thy decree. Baha'u'llah. How sweet is the thought of thee in times of adversity and trial, and how delightful to glorify thee when compassed about with the fierce winds of thy decree. Baha'u'llah. Prosperity, contentment, and freedom, however much desired and conducive to the gladness of the human heart, can in no wise compare with the trials of homelessness and adversity in the pathway of God, for such exile and banishment are blessed by the divine favor, and are surely followed by the mercy of Providence. Abdul Baha. prosperity, contentment, and freedom, however much desired and conducive to the gladness of the human heart, can in no wise compare with the trials of homelessness and adversity in the pathway of God, for such exile and banishment are blessed by the divine favor, and are surely followed by the mercy of providence. Abdu'l-Baha.